Psalm 23, let me read, begin reading at verse number 1. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's have prayer. Father, thank You tonight for the service that we've already enjoyed, the sweet music that has pleased and honored the Lord. And thank You now for the privilege of reading this precious psalm. And bless it now as we read it, as we study it, and as I would attempt to preach it. I pray tonight for Your blessing upon the preaching of the Word of God. And bless now this service and this message in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. To get started this evening, I wanted to just give just a few thoughts in reference to this psalm, Psalm chapter number 23. Psalm 23, no sweeter psalm. This psalm has been called the Nightingale of Psalms. This psalm is to the book of Psalms like John chapter 3 verse 16 is to the book of John. This psalm has been chosen, been the chosen text for many occasions. This psalm has been read and preached from repetitiously in funeral services. This psalm has been a pillar for a tired head. Many times, many of God's people have been comforted by reading this psalm and have rested their cares upon this psalm, the Nightingale Psalm. This psalm has helped multitudes of people. Psalm 23 is a psalm of rejoicing. Psalm of rejoicing. This psalm has been a blessing and a comfort to those that are dying. This psalm has been a blessing and a comfort to those that are lonely. This psalm has been an aid to those that are sick. This psalm has been a great psalm of comfort and counsel to those that are rejected in this world. David had been a shepherd, the one who penned this psalm under inspiration. David had been a shepherd. And what David was to the sheep, David found the Lord to be to him. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Psalm chapter number 23 is a psalm of the risen Savior. A psalm of the risen Savior. When you think of Psalm chapter 23, you automatically have to think of Psalm chapter 22 and Psalm chapter 24. In Psalm chapter 22, we see the Good Shepherd dying for the sheep. Psalm chapter 22, the words of that psalm were quoted by our dear Lord Himself on Calvary, when He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" Psalm 22, we look at that psalm, the psalm of the Good Shepherd who gave His life for His sheep. Psalm chapter 23 is a psalm of the Great Shepherd who is living for His sheep. Psalm chapter 23 would parallel well many of the passages in the book of Hebrews where it talks about the ascended Lord, where it talks about the priesthood ministry of Christ. Psalm 23 is about the ascended, risen Lord. It speaks about the Great Shepherd who is living for His sheep. You'll notice in the psalm, David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Not "the Lord was my shepherd," not "the Lord will be my shepherd," but "the Lord is my shepherd." This is a testimony of God's people currently. This is a testimony of today. This is a testimony of God's workings and blessings right now as we go through this thing called life and as we deal with issues of life, which includes many of the frustrations and problems and burdens that we bear. Psalm chapter 22, we see the Good Shepherd dying for the sheep. Psalm chapter 23, we see the Great Shepherd living for the sheep, making intercession for the sheep. And then in Psalm 24, we see the Chief Shepherd who is ruling and reigning. You'll find that in Psalm chapter number 24. So it's always well to read Psalm 23 in the context of those three psalms, that trilogy of psalms, as they all fit together, presenting the shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. It is a psalm of the risen Savior. It's often quoted as the good shepherd dying, but the psalm actually pertains to the great shepherd living. Psalm chapter 24 is a chief shepherd coming. Psalm 22, the shepherd dying. Psalm 23, the shepherd living. And Psalm 24, the shepherd coming. It's a book of restriction. This psalm is a psalm of restriction. That sounds rather strange, I understand that. But it is a psalm of restriction. I say that for this reason. Without Psalm 22, you cannot have Psalm 23. I know that sounds rather simple, simplistic. And you understand, chronologically, naturally, you would have to have 22 preceding 23. But there's more to it than simply that. You have to have him dying. You have to have Christ dying before we can see him living. You have to see the cross before you can see him interceding. So you have to have Psalm 22, the content of that, before you have Psalm chapter 23. It's a psalm of restriction. Restricted in this way. The unsaved cannot claim it. The unsaved cannot say, "The Lord is my shepherd." They cannot say that. It's restricted. It is restricted. Many people quote it as if they can claim it. But some people can only quote it and cannot claim it because he is not the shepherd of those that are unsaved. And we keep that in mind. Now, if you want some New Testament commentary on that, you go to John 10. Jesus is a shepherd. We who are saved are the sheep. He knows his sheep. His sheep know him. He said, "I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish." So Psalm 23 is applicable only to those that are sheep in his fold. He's a shepherd. We're the sheep, we that are in his fold. I love to read Luke chapter 19, where it talks about that shepherd that has sheep, and there's one that is lost. And the 99 are safe in the fold. But let me point something out. They're safe in the Jewish fold. The 99, I believe, would represent the state perhaps of Israel at that time. They're safe in the Jewish fold. He goes out. He finds that lost sheep. He puts that sheep on his shoulders. He bears them on his shoulders. And we have there a picture of a sinner being retrieved by the Lord, placed on his shoulders, and secured with salvation and blessed. We find that truth, you see, in Luke 19. But now coming back here to Psalm chapter 23. It is a psalm of restriction. All that the great shepherd does is perfect. He is a perfect provider. His provisions are perfect. And this wonderful psalm catalogs many of the precious provisions that we find, that we can see in the Christian life. Let me give you just kind of a thumbnail, panoramic outline sketch of this psalm. And then I'll slow down a little bit and we'll just look at verse 1 for our message tonight. Now here it is. Let me give you kind of an outline of this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. Thank God if you can say that tonight. You can say a lot. You have been blessed. If you can say tonight, "The Lord is my shepherd," you're giving the testimony of salvation. Amen. You're blessed with salvation. But now note this, "I shall not want," I shall not want. Let me suggest this thought. I shall not want for rest. He maketh me to lie down. I shall not want for rest. He gives rest to the soul. He gives rest to the weary. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I shall not want for rest. There's no rest like the rest that God gives. There's nothing that can compensate for the rest that God gives, the peace. I think of peace with God. I think of the peace of God. I shall not want for rest. I shall not want. Notice the psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want for rest. He maketh me to lie down. Secondly, I shall not want for refreshment. He leadeth me beside still waters. I shall not want for refreshment. He leads beside still waters. Not fast moving waters, still waters. Still waters are deep waters. That would suggest to us the abundant supply of His grace. I shall not want for refreshment. We think of waters. We think of refreshment. We think of drinking. We think of refreshment. I shall not want for refreshment. He leadeth me beside still waters. I shall not want for restoration. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. I shall not want for guidance. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. I shall not want for guidance. What a blessing to be led of the Lord. What a blessing to live for God, to have the will of God, to live in the will of God, to follow Him as He leads. I shall not want for guidance. You and I get into trouble when we try to order our steps. But the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His ways. I shall not want for guidance. He leadeth me. We're far better off having His leadership. Not our leadership. His leadership. I shall not want for guidance. I shall not want for companionship. Thou art with me. Thou art with me. Companionship. The blessed companionship of the Lord. Knowing that God's people have His presence. Knowing that we have His presence in our life. Knowing that the Holy Spirit indwells us. Knowing that He is with us all of the time and all of the way. His companionship. He's a companion that will never bail out on us. He's a companion that will stick with us. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, we're told. I shall not want for companionship. There's many people living today that are lonely, rejected, forsaken. Try to imagine all of the homes that have been disrupted by divorce. And children have been left without having parents. Try to imagine the abandoned people roaming the streets of our cities. With no place to call home, we live in a lonely world. You can go to places like New York City where it's wall-to-wall people, but yet in the midst of the crowd, you have lonely people all around. But thank God tonight, the Lord is a companion. He is with us. He doesn't forsake us. And when the going gets tough, He'll still not bow out on us. He's still there. I shall not want for companionship. I shall not want for comfort. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You take the shepherd's rod. That rod was used in different ways. Sometimes that rod was used, that crook, to pick up a sheep when that sheep stumbled. Sometimes we're told that the shepherd, if he had to, he had to get rather severe with that sheep. And maybe he had to even cripple it to keep it from wandering and going astray. But you know he did it in love. And I shall not want for... That rod speaks of comfort. It speaks of God's care. It speaks of comfort. I shall not want for comfort. I shall not want for provision. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. provision. God's prepared table. I shall not want for unction. He anointeth my head with oil. I shall not want for satisfaction. My cup runneth over. I shall not want for goodness and mercy, because surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall not want for a home at last, for I will dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. I look at Psalm 23, and I think of John 3:16. I look at Psalm 23, and I think of Philippians 4, verse number 19. That my God shall supply all your need. Somebody has said that Philippians 4:19 is God's blank check. God's blank check. Now let's go back to this psalm and just pick up with our study and look at just a couple verses as we look at this psalm. Now notice this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Here's my first point tonight. We see perfect salvation. Perfect salvation. He's the shepherd. I'm the sheep. That's perfect salvation. Shepherd, sheep. Get the picture. Think of a sheepfold. Shepherd, sheep. Perfect salvation. I'm here to say tonight that God's salvation is secure. It's perfect. It is something that we never get over. It's a salvation that produces joy. And here's something else that someone pointed out in this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. It's almost like David is bragging. It's almost like he's saying, he's boasting, he's saying, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord. He's highlighting the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. It's almost like a little boy. Try to picture this now. A little child in a group of people. And the little child running over, dragging his friend with him, and saying, here's my daddy. Here's my daddy. The psalmist is bragging on the Lord. You know, it's like this. You either belong or you don't. You belong or you don't. His sheep are secure. His sheep are marked. They're marked. Sometimes we think of how people used to brand cattle. And by the way, did you know that in Jewish households, Old Testament I'm thinking now, servants had their ears awled, bored with an awl, which implied ownership. What did Paul say? I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. So God's people, God's sheep, are secure sheep. God's people are marked sheep. He knows His sheep. John 10. I know them and they follow me. You know, there's a lot that could be said about that tonight. He knows us. We know Him. We follow Him. You know, it's just like a mother and her child. You know, you can have a mother, you can have several mothers for that matter. And let's say they're in a group together, and let's say several of them mothers have babies. Here's what I've noticed about a mother. One baby can cry out. Let's say you got several of them in a church nursery. Or there's several babies together. One baby cries out. Guess what? The mother knows the baby. The mother knows which baby cried. That's the way it is tonight with God's people. The Lord knows us. We know Him. Here's what I found out, and I think you have too. When it comes to salvation and a knowledge of the Lord, sometimes our minds might get kind of clouded to where we can't fully think and understand and comprehend. But I've noticed the people of God always seem to still know their Lord. They still have a knowledge of Him. I've seen people sometimes in the worst kind of condition in hospitals and going through all kinds of problems, but I've still heard them in their faint voice singing Amazing Grace or talking about how good God is. The shepherd knows the sheep and the sheep know the shepherd. Perfect salvation. What a blessing tonight to be sheep of His pasture. What a privilege tonight to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm glad this evening. Many of you can say that, but I'm glad I can say it personally too. I can say tonight, the Lord is Glenn's shepherd. Or the Lord is Calvin's shepherd. Or the Lord is Steve's shepherd. Or Homer's shepherd. Or Larry. But I can say tonight, the Lord is Chuck Peter's shepherd. I mean, it's good to put your name there, isn't it? Perfect salvation. Thank God tonight this is something that is personal. We're not saved by proxy. It's an individual thing. The Lord is my shepherd. Then I want you to note something else. Perfect satisfaction. I shall not want. Here we have the sentiment of a satisfied sheep. When He is shepherd, He controls us. He directs us. Our will is conformed to His will. What about Romans 12, 1 and 2? Have you quoted that lately? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Let me make a point tonight. God's people, when it comes to being sheep in His fold, His will becomes our will. Where it says that you may know what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Have you noticed this? The people of God are going to be wanting things. That's when our heart is tender towards the Lord. We're going to be wanting what God wants. Amen. We don't get out on the limb. In other words, the only reason tonight that I'd want $1 million would for it to somehow be God's will and Him get the glory out of it. That's the thing about the will of God, isn't it? When you have sometimes people saying, I'm saved, God doesn't seem to give me what I want. It's good to back up at that point and ask ourselves the question, is what I want what God wants? Is it His will? But when we're in tune with His will, serving Him, loving Him, even what we want will be sanctified. You know, it's pretty good when you can have a sanctified want. When our wants are not sanctified, that means we're in trouble. That means the old flesh is prevailing. But we'll have a sanctified want. Hey, that's the very reason why you can find an old saint of God living for the Lord, walking with God, who's content with who they are, where they are, what they have. They don't live in a state of envy towards what others have. No, why? They're satisfied. They're in the will of God. They've already come to grips with the fact when God provides and takes care of the sparrows, causes the lilies to grow, their attitude is God will surely take care of me. And my life is in His hands. He's the shepherd. I'm the sheep. His will is my will, vice versa. I don't want anything more than what He wants to give me. That's a satisfied sheep right there. But sometimes when you and I depart from the moorings of sanctified living and depend upon the energy of the flesh, we start getting confused. We start looking for things, wanting things, coveting things. And that's a telltale evidence right there. We've lost some ground when it comes to consecration to God's will. In other words, you know what it takes to make a Christian happy? Just to know they're in the will of God and know that God's pleased in what they have. And God's given them that. The Lord is my shepherd, perfect salvation. I shall not want perfect satisfaction. Perfect satisfaction. And let me keep reading and I'll be done shortly. I'm not going to preach long tonight. Perfect salvation. Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want perfect satisfaction. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Perfect rest. Leadeth me beside still waters. I've been a sheep of his fold now for close to 50 years. And I can tell you tonight, by way of a testimony, it's been an exciting journey for me. I've seen good times and bad times. I've seen healthy days and unhealthy days. I've lost a lot of good friends. I've had many of my family members that have preceded me. And I'm almost getting to the place right now where I've got more friends in heaven than here on this earth, because so many dear, precious saints have departed. But I look back over my life, and I've got to tell you tonight, I've never regretted following my shepherd. He's been good to me. He's blessed me. I don't think a pastor could be any more fortunate than I am to have a good church and have loving, kind people like I have here at Smith Grove Baptist Church. And I'm blessed. And I'll tell you the reason for it this evening is because my shepherd has been in control of my life and my ministry, and that's been satisfaction for this old hell-deserving sheep. What a great psalm, the nightingale of psalms. Let's pray. Father,